Let me pray before I begin. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can know you through it. And so I pray that what I speak aren't my own words, but are all yours. Give us open hearts and open ears to receive what you're telling us today. In your name, amen. For centuries, people have used coded messages as a way of either preventing secrets from becoming public or from falling into the wrong hands. As an example, I've got the Enigma machine that was developed by Germany during the Second World War. Enigma was one of the most sophisticated forms of cryptography ever created. Believed to be uncrackable, Enigma would randomly scramble the letters of a message into any of the 26 letters of the alphabet based on a sequence that would change each day. And so anyone who was either sending or receiving messages needed to have the list of daily sequences on hand. If you didn't have the right sequence, you couldn't understand any message. So when the Allies got their hands on one of these lists, they were able to crack the code. Messages that were once gibberish and nonsense now provided vital information that could turn the tide of the war. Similarly, Jesus uses coded messages in the form of parables. It's a misconception that parables made Jesus' teachings easier to understand. Rather, they challenge listeners to either engage more deeply with his message or to stay outside and remain puzzled. We see this in verses 11 and 12. He, that's Jesus, told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." So far in Mark's gospel, we've seen people strongly opposing Jesus for his mission. And yet Jesus also has vital information about God's kingdom to share with us. So in response, Jesus tests his listeners to see whether they're inside his kingdom or outside. And so for the outsiders, these parables are simply nonsense riddles. But if you're inside his kingdom, you'll realize the powerful truths that Jesus is sharing. Parables then test our openness to God's truth. So this morning, let's lean in and listen closely to what Jesus is telling us about the kingdom of God. So first, Jesus tells us that his kingdom comes imperceptibly. In verses 26 and 28, Jesus compares his kingdom to seeds that grow hidden beneath the soil. Read with me verses 26 to 28. "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. The kingdom of God doesn't occur through a grand hostile takeover. Rather, it grows quietly, often unnoticed, like seeds buried beneath the soil. There's hidden power at work. Appearances can be deceiving. So even though it looks like there's nothing happening on the surface, there is in fact something powerful going on underneath the surface. Miracles are taking place. Jesus explains this further with the parable of the mustard seed in verses 30 to 32. What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. It grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. At the end of this parable, Jesus references Ezekiel 17, where God promises to plant a tender twig that will grow up to become a mighty cedar tree. A mighty cedar tree where birds of every kind would find their nest. And so just as all of these birds would find their nest in these branches, Jesus promises that every nation and every tribe will be able to find their shelter in his glorious kingdom. And so though God's kingdom may start small and hidden and imperceptible, it's going to grow into something vast and sheltering, where all are welcome, just as every bird finds a nest in the mighty branches of God's kingdom, all from a seemingly tiny speck. And yet, just as plants eventually burst up from out of the soil, Jesus promises that God's kingdom is going to burst out. And so this is our second point, that God's kingdom comes inevitably. Let's jump back to verses 21 and 22. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamb to put it under a bowl or under a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open." Throughout the Old Testament, God would veil or obscure his presence, such as on Mount Sinai, when God covered Moses' eyes as he passed by. When the tabernacle and later the temple was built, and God made his presence dwell there, God hid his glory behind a thick, enormous curtain. Because if sinful humans are to look upon the glory of a holy God, they would surely die. And yet in Jesus, we see God's presence veiled in flesh. revealing the light of his kingdom. And as with the light, Jesus promises that his kingdom will inevitably break through. Because the curtain that once hid God's glory in the temple would also be torn when Jesus was crucified. If that's the case, if Jesus is coming to unveil God's glory, if everything is going to be revealed, then why the secrecy? In verse 23, Jesus urges his listeners to hear him carefully. God is a patient God. In 2 Peter 3, we read that he wants all people to come to repentance to him. He doesn't want anyone to die. And so perhaps these parables are a way of him giving those who are outside of his kingdom time to come and accept and to hear his message and to repent. And yet, just as you take the cover off of a lantern, Jesus also warns that there will be a time when his hiddenness will end. All things will become open and it will be too late. Jesus will return and the kingdom will come in full and he will judge the nations. So, are you paying attention? Are you listening to God's message? Where does this leave us now? It's easy to feel discouraged today, especially as we see more and more people drifting away from the church. And I'm sure many of us could easily list off co-workers, friends, even family members that we've been praying for years, perhaps, to come to know Jesus. But like a farmer waiting for the harvest, we wait. And yet, even though we may not see anything, God is still at work. Although we plant seeds, we water them and nurture them. We simply have to trust that God does the growing in his time. I'll share with you a story about a friend of mine. This friend wanted nothing to do with God or religion when I first met them. So for about 5 years, I was praying that the Holy Spirit would lead my friend to Jesus. Eventually, they did start coming to church, but after a while, they fell away. Understandably, I was quite discouraged. Eventually, and also in God's own time, my friend did reconnect. God started to bring people into my friend's life who could tell them the gospel in a way that they needed to hear it and understand. And eventually, after 5 years of praying, my friend put their trust in Jesus. The Lord of the harvest hasn't gone away, nor is he asleep. He continues to watch over his crop, and he continues to nurture his little seedlings. And yet we're also warned that this time of waiting won't be forever. Imagine that you're in a blackout and the lights suddenly come back on. For some, it brings relief. And yet for others who are caught in wrongdoing, it's alarming. God's light will reveal all, and we must pay attention to this. We must pay attention to the gospel. As Jesus says, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. If we lose sight of the gospel, we may lose it entirely. And that's sadly happened to far too many churches that have either succumbed to liberal or fundamentalist teachings. Instead, we must hold on to the gospel because God shines his light wherever his gospel is preached. And so, even if things look discouraging, we know that our Lord is at work to prepare his harvest. God's kingdom will come. Keep your lamps lit. Keep watch and be ready. Amen.